We're reading from the third canto of Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, 25th chapter, The Glories of Devotional Service, text number 10. Ata me deva samoham. Ata me deva samoham. Ata me deva samoham. Apakrashtum tvamarasi. Apakrashtum tvamarasi. Apakrashtum tvamarasi, tum tvamarasi. Yo vigraho aham mametiti, yo vigraho aham mametiti, yo vigraho aham mametiti, yo vigraho aham mameti, etasmin yojitastaya, etasmin yojitastaya. Tame deva samoham. Apakrashtum tvamarasi. Yovagraharoham ametiti. Etasmin yojitastaya. Tame deva samoham. Apakrashtum tvamarasi. Yo vagraho hamametiti. Etasmin yojitastaya. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion due to my feeling of false ego. I have been engaged by your maya, and I have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Now repeat. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The false ego of identifying one's body as oneself and of claiming things possessed in relationship with this body is called maya. In Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, the Lord says, I am sitting in everyone's heart, and from me comes everyone's remembrance and forgetfulness. Devahuti has stated that false identification of the body with the self and attachment for possessions in relation to the body are also under the direction of the Lord. Does this mean that the Lord discriminates by engaging one in his devotional service and another in sense gratification? If that were true, it would be an incongruity on the part of the Supreme Lord. But that is not the actual fact. As soon as the living entity forgets his real constitutional position of eternal servitorship to the Lord and wants instead to enjoy himself by sense gratification, he is captured by maya. This capture by maya is the consciousness of false identification with the body and attachment for the possessions of the body. These are the activities of maya. And since maya is also an agent of the Lord, it is indirectly the action of the Lord. The Lord is merciful. If anyone wants to forget him and enjoy this material world, he gives him full facility, not directly, but through the agency of his material potency. Therefore, since the material potency is the Lord's energy, indirectly it is said, sorry, indirectly, it is the Lord who gives the facility to forget him. Devahuti therefore said, my engagement in sense gratification was also due to you. Now, kindly get me free from this entanglement. By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, and when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. Krishna says, therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, first of all, surrender, and then I will take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activities. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. In this material world, activities for material enjoyment, which are considered to be pious, are also sinful. For example, one sometimes gives something in charity to a needy person with a view to getting back the money four times increased. Giving with a purpose of getting something is called charity in the mode of passion. Everything done here is done in the modes of material nature, and therefore all activities but service to the Lord are sinful. Because of sinful activities, we become attracted by the illusion of material attachment. And we think, I am this body. I think of the body as myself and of bodily possessions as mine. Devahuti requested Lord Kapila to free her from that entanglement of false identification and false possession. I'll read the verse again. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Om Agnatimanam Dasyagaran Anjana Salakaya Chaksur Nitam Jena Tasmai Shudur Vedamaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutare Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bango Mangaya Devi Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarane. This class will be a little bit short because our friends down the road kept me up all night last night with their supremely sweet sounds. This is a very important verse that Prabhupada lectured on in Mayapur once. It shows that Krishna is impartial, and that if someone wants to enjoy material nature, he gives him facility to do it. Prabhupada has commented on this in lectures, saying that if a person, for example, wants to be naked, that person can stand as a tree for 10,000 years without any clothes on. Or if a person wants to eat indiscriminately, it can acquire the body of a hog so that it can eat any time of day or night indiscriminately. So the verse that Prabhupada quoted, I think more than any other verse, was from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that goes, Yas yatma buddhir trinake tridatuke spadir kalatrad rishu boma ijadvi yatirtha yatra salilena kakichi eva gokkara. It means that it is not spiritual to identify with yas yatma buddhir with the body, with the land of our birth, nor is it proper to go to holy places of pilgrimage just to take a bath. One who does this, who identifies with the land of birth, the Boma or Bhumi, like it was Indian Independence Day on the 15th of August, so everybody was waving flags legs of Bharat and feeling very, very attached to the land of Bharat, of India. So they have this in every country. There's Cinco de Mayo in Mexico and 4th of July Independence Day in America. So people feel very, very nationalistic, very attached to their land of birth. And this verse talks about how people are also very attached to their body. Yes, Yatma Buddhir, Tridatuke. The body consists of three things, bile, mucus, and air. And it's been said over and over again many times, but we think that we are these bodies. Therefore, there are so many products on the market now in the Kali Yuga to make the body more attractive, to make the skin very beautiful, to make the hair very beautiful, to make all the wrinkles go away. One of the biggest industries in the world is the cosmetic industry. Soaps, eyeliner, cream. And then the body is always dressed with very special clothing to make it look very beautiful. So the point is that if this tendency to make a body very beautiful with cosmetics and clothing is used for Krishna, then this is the purification or the perfection of such desires. For example, we give Krishna very beautiful clothes on Janmashtami. We give him very beautiful scents and perfumes and let him look at himself in the mirror. This is the perfection of our perverted desire to make the body look beautiful. And many people go to holy places for ulterior motives. They just want to take a bath in the pukkar. Or like these people down the road, they were having some kind of party or wedding and singing some kind of crazy bhajan, pop music, so loud that it was impossible to sleep. So this is a perverted, condemned way to conduct human activity. To go to a place like Vrindavan or Govardhan or Mathura or Hardwar or Dwarka just to bathe in the holy water. One who does this is considered to be no more intelligent than a cow. Saiva Gokara. Gokara. Kara means ass or donkey. And go means cow. So the wonderful thing about Krishna is that he has provided this material world so that people can enjoy it. And Devahuti says that this thing called Maya or illusion is also created by Krishna. Jai Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Shishu Gornitai Ki Jai. So indirectly, Krishna is giving us facility to enjoy things. In this way, everything is actually part of Krishna. The road, the birds, the films, the instruments, the animals, the people, they're all part of Krishna. Illusion itself is part of Krishna. Maya is a servant of Krishna. Maya is a servant of Krishna in the same way that jailers are serving the state. They have a very thankless task. They have to keep the prison clean. They have to feed the prisoners. They have to keep them from fighting. So Maya has a very thankless task. She has to keep people very happy in this material world. They have to be fed. They have to be clothed. They have to have sex, they have to have all the things they want. So these things also are provided by Krishna. So there's a saying in English that we give a person enough rope to hang themselves on. So Krishna is always doing this. There was one guru, I think his name was Rajaneesh or Osho. His philosophy, I think it's okay to speak about him now because nobody in here is a follower of Rajaneesh. But his philosophy, part of his philosophy, was that you should just gratify your senses to the maximum. Then you would grow tired of them. You would become you would become fed up with gratifying your senses, and therefore you would give them up, and you would renounce sensual gratification. The problem was that this was one philosophy, or one university, we might say, that you could never graduate from. Because no matter how much the senses are satisfied, they never feel satiated. They always want more. We might feel satisfied by eating one day, but the next day the tongue says, give me more, give me more, give me more. The perfection of this is when Krishna was manifest as Govardhan. He was saying, Aniyor, 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 give me more. We can give to Krishna endlessly, but the senses will never be satisfied. And they will lead us deeper and deeper into Maya. If we feed Krishna when he says, give me more, give me more, we will become more and more satisfied. And Krishna will also become more and more satisfied. So that is the difference between satisfying our senses and satisfying Krishna's senses. So the whole mood of a devotee is to satisfy Krishna's senses. So when Krishna says, Sarvasya Chahamriti Sannivishto, Atakasmitir Gyanam Aponam, in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when he says, I give remembrance and forgetfulness, if we want to become atheistic and forget Krishna, he gives us, he's very kind, the facility to forget. So this whole material world that we live in has been created by Krishna so that we can forget him. This is also Krishna's mercy. So when Prabhupada was lecturing on this verse, he says that everything in this material world is a fight. Aishwarya was telling me that he saw two people having a fist fight over a train seat. Someone wanted to sit in the same seat that someone else sat in, so they had a big fight. So in Kali Yuga, people will fight over very insignificant, very small things. This is the nature of Kali Yuga. Sometimes it is said that the material world is like a jungle and everybody is fighting with everybody over something. Everybody is envious over somebody else about something. Envious of someone about something. Someone is richer, someone is more beautiful, someone is more educated, someone is more attractive, someone is more powerful, someone is more learned, someone is more renounced. There's always something to fight about. So the material world is characterized as the world of duality or the world of fighting. People are always fighting. But Krishna's world is always very peaceful. There is no fighting. And there is no envy in the spiritual world. So there is no fighting. But the material world, even though there is much enjoyment, there is also much fighting and much envy. The material world is called anitya, or temporary. So like these people who were fighting over the train seat, maybe they would sit there for 3 hours. So a devotee, a tolerant person of bhakti yoga, would think, well, it's only going to take 3 hours, so why should I care whether I sit here or not? Why get in a fight about it? But in the material world, people will fight over a 3-hour train seat. So what is a lifetime of 50 years or 60 or 100 years? It will pass just like the blinking of an eye. And before we realize it, it will be time to change this body. So Devahuti is very intelligent. She realizes that she has been a victim of Maya, a victim of false ego, and she is approaching Krishna, as Lord Kapiladeva, please help me get out of this situation. So if we ask Krishna for anything, if we have any prayer to ask Krishna for something, we should ask him, please help me get out of this illusion. Please help me get out of this bodily concept of life. Please help me stop identifying with the country I was born in. Please help me stop going to a holy place just to take a bath in the water or just to say I've been there. Please help me distinguish reality from illusion. This should be our prayer to Krishna. So if Devahuti is to get any kind of enlightenment from her son, Krishna, Kapila, it is to become freed from the material nature and the false identification with the body. So she says, please dispel my great illusion, my great delusion. So I'll stop there. I'll read the verse again. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged in your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. I'll make one other point. Prabhupada was saying when he was lecturing on this verse in Mayapur that not only do we identify with this body, but we identify with everything connected with this body, with my immediate family, my relatives, my compatriots, my countrymen. So identifying with the country is like an extension of identifying with the body, the community. So it has been said that we should give up the community for the country. And we should give up the country for the world. We should give up the world for the self, and we should give up the self for Krishna. Because the real self is Gopi Bharator Parakamalam Anudas Anudas Anudas, is the servant of Krishna. So any comments or questions? I think my room is very close to that other guest house, so the sound was very loud. They had the loudspeaker turned up all the way, starting at midnight, and therefore I couldn't get any sleep last night. So it's, in a way, it's the best part of the ashram, but in another way, it's the worst. Sorry about that. We don't know which side. They have two big horns there. Each one is this long on top of the building. And I came up on the roof and they were having some kind of celebration or wedding or I don't know, something. Probably won't. I mean, for 30 days there was nothing. And all of a sudden, midnight, boom. Let's hear that. Ordinarily it's okay, but because I'm older, it's not good, 62 years old. Otherwise it just, you know, I chanted all my rounds, so I shouldn't complain. Yes, Mataji. What does it mean? Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to give oneself to Krishna? Is that what the question is? Well, one thing it means is not having any personal desires for improving my material situation. And also, that's one thing it means. Another thing it means is surrender. Another thing it means is to let Krishna completely take charge of my life, to be free from desire. Another thing it means is not to own anything, not to think that anything is mine, my body, my mind, my family, nothing is mine. Oh, by the way, I think you asked about those books. It was Gaurakishore Das Babaji who said that you can get Krishna, love of God, for five anas. It was Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And it was Partharna and that Chandrika book. He said, I don't know, he said there was two books. I read this in the folio. Thank you. How many paisas are in a rupee now? 100? So I think one anna was 1/16 of a... Was it 1/16 of a rupee? Or 1 rupee now. 16 annas equals 1 rupee, right. So for 5 annas you can get love of God. That's what Gaurakishordas Babaji said anyway. So I think we'll end now and we'll have a little darshan at 10:30 with the Russian devotees. I'll see what time Atul comes, but I may have to go in today because I didn't sleep last night. It was just so loud. My window, and I closed the window, but it was too hot.
Concert,
I know, it was live. Yeah, I know.
Everybody was not sleeping. Terrible.
And they stopped at 4 o'clock. I slept a little bit, but... All right. Nice. But if he comes, if Atul comes at 9 o'clock, I'm going to ask if we can go today instead of tomorrow.
Today, yeah. We have to go today. Tomorrow will be Sunday.
I was planning to go tomorrow.
To Radhakund?
No, not to Radhakund. No. What I mean is I want to ask Atul to take me all the way to Delhi today.
Yeah.
Today, not tomorrow. If he comes.
For what reason do you want to?
Because I have to sleep. I didn't sleep last night.
Oh, I see.
I mean,
I understand.
Yeah, that's the only reason. Otherwise, I would wait till tomorrow. I don't know if I can sleep today, this afternoon. But I'll call Raghunath at the temple, and if they can give me a room, then I can sleep some this afternoon. It's quiet. It's just too noisy. And they might do it again tonight. I don't know. If I know for sure that they're going to be quiet tonight, then I'll stay here. But I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows.
So anyway, we'll see if Atul comes. Maybe he won't come. But even I put earplugs in and it didn't stop.
It helps.
I chanted my rounds, so I got all my rounds chanted. Anyways.